Glad to be here. I hope this is a blessing to you. Be preaching the word.
So I'm sure it will be.
I'm going to go to my text. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know who I believed in. If you want to get a title of this message, Eternal Security. Romans chapter 8. That's where we're going to be in today. Now we know this is Paul at the church of Rome. He's talking to the hope that we have, Christian hope. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our hope. And our hope is that we know he's coming. And we know our hope is that he saved us by the grace of God. And we know the hope. And we know who we have believed in. I know who I've believed in. One of the most outrageous things to say from false teachings or heresies, this would be to deny the success or the sufficiency of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people think they can just do it on their own will. It's not man's free will. You just can't do it. It just don't work. It just don't work. A lot of so-called churches believe in man's free will, but not of the sovereign grace of God. They attack the trustworthiness of Christ himself, the doctrine of teaching or of eternal security of true believers who be an actual truth of God's word. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't believe in it. A lot of people don't preach it. They don't even know what the gospel is. It's declared in his word. I see a gospel that allows sinners to be saved by man's free will, such as say. But then you can lose your salvation. But then, my friend, it is not the gospel of the New Testament. That right there is not. And we see it all over. So my message here, eternal security. How do you know you're eternally secured? That's where I'm going to be in today. So, chapter 8, we'll start in verse 24. For we are saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? We are saved by the grace of God. It is a sure hope. You know, you ask these people all the time, are you saved? Where are you going to go when you die? When you leave this world, where are you going to die? Are you going to go to heaven? I hope so. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about a sure hope that we have. And that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. For I know who I have believed in. The eternal life. It's promise. He's a promise-keeping God. He's a covenant-keeping God. In his word. It's his promise that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm a whosoever. Lord saved me at a young age. Did I stray and rebel? Yes. And I'm ashamed of it and I regret it every day. But you know what? By God's sovereign grace, he kept me here. And I'm doing the Lord's work and his will. We have eternal life that is secure. It's secure. He's gave us everlasting life in his kingdom one day. And that is a sure hope, my friend. That's not a hope I hope so. That is a sure hope. And that's what we should be like Paul. For he says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? We know it's a sure hope. Verse 25 says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we Wait. Then do we with patience wait for it? Patience. See? Brother Jerry's talking about this morning. Patience. Got to have patience. We, you know, sometimes when you get saved, okay, and you, you're living your life, you're not going to have eternal, everlasting life in the kingdom of God right then. It takes work. It takes patience. It takes, you're growing in the process. You're a new babe in Christ. You're growing in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in you then. He leads and guides you through all truth through His Word. That's how you grow. But we don't, we're not going to, well, we're saved. God saved us. Now we want to go to heaven. It's not like that. We got to have patience. Okay? So, it says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Yes. We have to go through things. Look at all our brothers and sisters that's died for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Paul, look what he done. Look what he went through. The persecutions and all that. And then end up dying for, you know, we have to keep the faith once delivered to the saints. We have to stay on the straight and narrow. We can't get sidetracked in this old world, because this world will destroy you and it'll corrupt you with all the bad stuff that's out here on these phones and all that, everything that's in this world. It'll corrupt you. You have to stay in His Word. If you don't stay in His Word, then you fall and slide off. It happened to me, and it can happen to any of you all here that I'm sitting here, and the ones I'm talking to too. It can happen to anybody. We're in the flesh. We're in a sin-cursed body. We're in a sin-cursed world. It's the way it is. We can't help it. But we have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit cannot sin, but the flesh does. This flesh is unclean. But our hope, we sure hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that one day we will reign with Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever in His glorious kingdom, where there is no darkness, where there is no badness or nothing like it. It's always day. The saints will be there gathered around the throne of God, and we'll all be with His appearance. We all. That's our hope. That is our hope for us individuals that are saved, and that's a hope for His church, His kind of church. The church that He built. It says, verse 26, and likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We're weak in the flesh, see? The Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit guides us, okay? And sometimes we get down and our minds are down in the dump sometimes, spiritually down. It happens. It says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for. We don't. The Holy Spirit works and intercessions with the Father. And it helps us pray when we pray and stuff. We don't know what to pray for. The Holy Spirit prays for us. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I don't even know what I preach. Sometimes I don't even know. I don't remember saying that. Because the Holy Spirit's working. Says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself. See, that's a big S. That's the Spirit. The Holy Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We can't understand it. We can't describe it or nothing. It's there. So, our infirmities, feebleness, minded, body, we have a divine helper, and that's the Holy Spirit that helps us and guides us. Verse 27, it says, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Some people don't want to hear that. He has predestinated us, an adoption of family. I've been adopted. Look at Ephesians. chapter 1. We'll start verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before in him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. See, my friend, it's not of works. It's not a work salvation. It's only by the sovereign grace of God, by direct from God. It is a gift of God. That's what it is. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. And then we look here in verse 11. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, there you go, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It's all of his will. The sovereign creator, God, that we serve. He is our king, our savior. He's our savior. If it wasn't for him, we'd still be dead in trespasses and sin and hell bound is where we'd be at. If we didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't do a work of grace in us. We have hope. But we have the sure hope, our eternal security. We have a sure hope. Because I know who I believed in. And I know who I've trusted in. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I know he had died on the cross for my sins. And he was buried and rose again the third day, 72 hours later. And God raised him up in his bodily. Not spiritually, he bodily risen. He bodily risen. It's important. So he says, he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. They make intercession. He's on the right hand of the Father, and they make an intercession together for his people. All the saints of God. We're all saints of God. And all the ones that's left behind us. All the ones before us. They're there now. They have the faith. See, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. But when we're saved, the Lord gives us that faith. You see what I'm saying? He gives us the faith for us to walk in his path of his righteousness and how we should live our lives. He is holy. God's holy and his law is holy. He sent his only begotten Son to save the sins of all his people. They make an intercession. Okay? It says in verse 28, where we read that. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ! What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Nobody. How about what you was preaching on this morning with the three Hebrew children? We're not going to worship your image. We're not going to bow to your image. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. None of the politicians, none of the governors, none of the president, none of them. None of them. I bow to only one. One is the only one I bow to, and that's God Almighty. And I bow to him when I see him. I'll kiss his feet when I come in the presence of the Lord. When I leave this old body one day. Don't know when it'll be, but we'll one day. If the Lord don't come back, we'll all be in that number. So what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Paul, well, I tell you, who can be against it? If God's for, we're His children. If God's for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Think about that. Y'all use that when you go out in this world. Think about it. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Not the Pope. None of them. None of them. About only one Creator, Sovereign God. There is the only true God, the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the only one that I bow down to, and that's it. There is no other gods but Him that sits high on the throne right now in His glorious kingdom. And His Son sits on the right hand side. And they make an intercession for the people, for His people. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us. Oh, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God's gift, His eternal riches, His grace. All because of His Son. He sent His Son. His only begotten Son. And God turned His back on Him. Because He bared all the sins of His people on the cross when He hung on Calvary. And He bled and died for His people. And He bled and died for His kind of church. Not a universal invisible, not a universal visible. His kind of church. Upon this rock I'll build my kind of church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's a free gift. He's predestinated. He's chosen us before the foundation of the world. And He freely gives us all things. His elect. His riches of His grace. His mercy. His mercies are new every morning. That's what it says. God's gift. His people. Their security. I've been bought and paid for on Calvary, my friend. And I'll tell you what. I know who I've trusted in and believe it in. And I know when I depart from this old decayed fleshly body, the spirit, the absent from the body, be present with the Lord, and the spirit will be in heaven and it will be with my King, my Father, my God, and my Savior, my Redeemer. That's who I'll be with. I know who I've trusted. I know. who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Amen. Only Jesus has authority to condemn. That's it. It is He that died for us, His people. To save us, now He lives the intercession for us. He was judged. But that's why He is the judge. He came as a man. And He came and kept the law, every jot and tittle. We had to have a Savior. And it was Jesus Christ. And He came as a man. And He knew no sin. He sinned not. He kept all the law right there. He kept every jot and tittle. And that's why He'll judge this world in righteousness. He is the creator of this universe. And He is the judge of this universe. And my friends, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have Him as your personal Savior, He will judge you in the last. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There we go. There's the Holy Spirit working. He's making intercession for His people. Yet we will suffer persecution and tribulation, or even death, we will. But in sure hope and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, We will not be separated from our Savior. We walk in faith and we keep our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We keep the faith once delivered to the saints. Our eternal security. Some people say, well, if we get persecuted, if we get killed, something's going to happen. I don't know. What's going to happen? Will we be separated from God? Will we be separated? No. No, 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 no. No, we won't be separated. Not at all. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril, trial or sword? We're inseparable with Christ. We're not ever going to be separated from Christ. No matter what happens in this world, what we go through, we will never be separated from Him and His love. His love towards His people, towards us. We love Him because He first loved us.
Amen.
Paul, though, we look here. Paul, he suffered a lot. Brother Paul, I tell you, he suffered a lot. He sure did.
You know,
him and Silas was in the prisons. And they were singing praises to God.
Singing
praises. They're locked up. No telling how bad it is in there. I'm sure it's awful. And they're locked up in there and they're praising to God. Singing praises to Him. And an earthquake... And the gates open up. And the guard, sovereign grace of God, saved that guard.
He thought
Paul and him was going to run away. He said, no, we don't have no room. We're staying right here. Yeah. He said, I'll have to kill myself. He said, don't put that sword in through you. He said, how can I be saved? Right there. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And right then, the Lord saved him. But Paul went through a lot. He went through tribulation. He went through distress, persecution, nakedness. He went through it all. And I'm going to tell you right now, we will have to go through that. I promise you we will. What we're seeing right now, God help us. But it's coming.
I see it coming.
But you know what? I'll keep the faith. And I'll stay true to the Lord. And I won't bow down to any kind of government or what they tell me to do. They make me try to take some chip, whatever they say. Or you can't buy, sell, trade. Too bad. Oh, well. I'll just die. But you know what? It'll be all right. You can only kill me one time. I'll be with the Lord. You can kill his whole body, but you can't kill the spirit. You can't. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Absolutely. Absolutely. We die daily. We die daily. That's the sufferings we got to do for Christ. That's what we have to go through. Whatever we go through in life, I don't know what it is. Anything. I have problems and downs and ups and downs. And sometimes I let my flesh get a hold of me and stuff, my temper. But we go through things. People hating you because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Look what they did to the brothers and sisters in Kabul, in Afghanistan. They found the church and they went in there and they all died a martyr's death. That just happened. You don't think that's not going to... Look what they're doing in Canada. They beat that preacher to death out there street preaching like I do. Preaching the gospel. You don't think that can't happen to me or anybody else? Absolutely. When you throw out the name of Jesus Christ, people don't like that. They don't like it. But it says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. So, I mean, we have to know that we have the love in Christ Jesus. We know that He is, our security is there. We have the sure hope of our eternal security. You know, you ask these people, where are you going to go? Are you saved? I hope so. I hope so. What kind of question is that? What kind of answer is that? Are you saved? It should be 110% yes or no. If you're second guessing if you're saved or not, then you're lost as a goose. But you can't do it by works. You can't do it by works. It's not of works. It's not of man's free will to come to the Lord whenever he wants to. It's not. They're dead in trespasses and sins. They're not going to come to him. They're not going to repent. None seeketh after God. No, not one. They're all gone out the way. They have decent cussing and cursing that comes out of their mouth. They're wicked and evil. Unless God does a work of grace in them, they'll never see the light. I tell them all the time. I said, Lord Jesus Christ told all you all to repent. I tell them up there at work, he's told all you all to repent, or you all should likewise perish. And you know what? They turn around and walk away from me. They don't want to hear it. See? They don't want to hear it. I asked a guy the other day, I was telling you, I said, do you know Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I said, are you saved? He said, no. I said, well, I said, repent and believe the gospel. Believe on Lord Jesus Christ. I said, believe they died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. He looked at me and said, that guy over there, he's the one that needs to be saved. And you don't? And you don't need to be saved? See? They're dead and trespassing. They're depraved. And that all came from the fall. So, but the ones that's been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the eternal security and we have the hope, the sheer hope that we know who we have trusted in. And we know who we have believed in. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. None. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There you go. Don't matter what's going to happen. Satan is seeking and devouring like a lion, like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. And if you don't stay in God's word, I'm talking for saved people here. If you don't stay in God's word, he'll destroy you. He will destroy you. We're in a spiritual battle. We do our battle ready. We're in a spiritual battle. We have to put the whole armor of God on at all times. You know, this is a sword of the Spirit. But I call it the gospel gun. And the reason why I call it the gospel gun, because it has unlimited ammunition. Unlimited. Because His word is everlasting. His ammunition is everlasting. The gospel gun, it's always firing the word of God. That's true. We have to put the... It says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing can separate us from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're one of His, if you've been paid for, bought and paid for on Calvary, then we have the eternal security. I know where I'm going. I do. I know where I'm going. And I don't care what happened to me. Because I know I'll be with the presence of the Lord one day. We all will. The ones that believed in Him and the ones that trusted Him. We'll all be with Him one day. In glory land. The throne of God. There's a crystal river that flows under the throne of God. crystal river flows. You know how beautiful that is, probably? I can't imagine. My mind, I have a finite mind. I don't.
One day.
That's my hope.
I have the hope.
I know the faith that he's given me. I know he's there on the throne right now.
He's with the Father,
and they're making intercession for his people. I know he has chosen me from the foundation of the world.
He's predestinated.
By his grace and mercy.
For by grace we are saved.
Through faith.
Not of works.
It's a gift of God. Lest any man should boast. It says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Nothing.
He is omnipotent. He has unlimited power.
He has all power.
He created the heavens and earth and everything that's therein. The sea, all of it. And he has chosen us. See, that's how I know I'm eternally secure. He has chosen me from the foundation of the world. He has chosen me. I've been adopted into his family.
And I know
who I have trusted and believed in. So I ask for the ones that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope for you is God does a work of grace in you.
Amen.
That's the only hope.
Amen.
Without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you have no hope. You can't do it on your own. You just can't. You can't say, well, I'm going to live my life and sin all one, and then one day I'm just going to say, you know what? Lord, forgive me, and that's it. I'm going to be in heaven. But you've been lied to. You've been lied to. It's all of the sovereign grace of God. That when you hear the gospel, and the Lord quickens you, the Holy Spirit quickens you. Arrest that man, like Paul.
He got blinded.
Holy Spirit arrested him.
He quickened him and saved him.
And the ones that know the Lord Jesus Christ has been saved by his grace, they've been quickened too. But you have to hear the gospel. You have to hear the word. All the Father has given him, they'll come.
They will come.
So last, we'll wrap this up. So our eternal security.
How do we know?
How do you know? I had a guy the other day ask me, he said, how do you know you're saved? How do you know you're going to heaven? His word, and I know
the Lord
saved me. I know I'm going to
the Holy Spirit
teaches me, he guides me into all truth. For I know who I have trusted in and believeth in. He gives us faith
to believe,
repentance, and faith.
Last,
anybody here today,
if
you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, repent. That's a change.
Change
yourself against yourself towards God. Repentance.
Change.
Repent. Believe in the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He died. He was buried and rose again the third day, 72 hours later. God raised him up. You believe that?
In
your heart, you believe that. You're saved. Lord saved you. That's my message today.